Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring safety culture.
Okay.
What it really means.
All right.
How it's built.
Yeah.
And why it matters, even if you don't wear a hard hat every day.
Yeah.
You've sent us some really interesting materials. We've got a safety culture handbook, excerpts from a safety culture book,
yeah,
and some thought-provoking questions from the Safety Culture Academy.
Yeah. This stuff is pretty interesting. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah. Let's see what we can uncover here. You know, I don't know about you, but
yeah.
I always thought safety culture was one of those phrases people just kind of throw around
yeah.
without really understanding what it means.
Yeah.
What was your first impression looking at all this?
It's interesting, right? You see the slogans, you see, you know, wear your PPE and stuff.
Right.
But these sources really go beyond that. They actually look at the psychology of safety, how we view risk.
Interesting.
And how even little things in an organization can really make or break safety.
That's so true. And, you know, one of the things that stood out to me was this idea of safety as a brand within an organization.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think they mean by that?
That's a good point. It's just like any product, right?
Hmm.
A brand has a logo.
Oh.
It has a message. It has values. It has a reputation.
Yeah.
So safety, you know, is not just about the rules, but how it's perceived, how it's valued,
yeah,
how it's really a part of the organization.
So how do we actually unpack that? Like, how do we see this safety brand in the real world?
Well, they break it down into three levels. You know, first you've got what you see, right?
Right.
The artifacts, like the safety signs, the equipment, right, procedures, even the physical layout of the space.
Stuff like the tangible stuff.
Exactly. Those send a message about safety. Then there's the messages themselves, what they're actually saying about safety.
Right. So that would be...
That's the espoused values.
Espoused values. Okay.
So the policies, the slogans you see,
right,
speeches from leadership, even just casual conversations.
Got it. But, you know, actions speak louder than words.
100%. That's where that third level comes in, the underlying assumptions.
Okay.
These are the things that aren't said out loud.
The unspoken rules.
Exactly. The beliefs and attitudes that drive behavior. It's that gut feeling people have about whether safety is really a priority.
So it's kind of like the difference between saying safety is important and actually living it every day.
Exactly.
And you know what I think is really interesting is that idea. It's not just about workplaces.
No.
It's about any group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Families, teams, even like online communities.
Yeah, if you start looking for those three levels, you'll see them everywhere.
That's a great point. So we've talked about how safety culture is more than just rules.
Right.
It's about how it's perceived and integrated into the group. But how do you build that?
Yeah.
These sources seem to agree that leadership plays a big role.
Absolutely. Mm. Huge. The leaders, you know, what they do or what they don't do, it sends a really strong message. One source even told a story about a CEO who had this really negative approach to safety.
Okay.
Always criticizing mistakes. It totally backfired. People were afraid to report anything.
Makes sense. If you're scared of being punished for speaking up,
right,
you're probably not going to say anything.
Yeah.
So how did this CEO turn things around?
Well, he realized his approach wasn't working.
Yeah.
And he made a real effort to change how he talked about safety.
Okay.
He started focusing on the positive, you know, praising people when they did things right.
Okay.
And really listening when someone had a concern.
So it's like creating this positive feedback loop.
Exactly.
You reward good behavior, mm-hmm, you encourage more of it, and people feel safer to speak up.
It's huge, the impact a leader can have.
Yeah. But it can't all be on the leaders, right?
No way.
These sources also talked about how important it is for employees to be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be a two-way street. You know, you need everyone participating for it to really work. So things like safety committees,
right,
one-on-one discussions, and actually involving employees in fixing problems. That's key.
I remember reading about this one safety committee that just used a simple logbook.
Oh, yeah.
To keep track of safety issues.
Uh-huh.
It seems so simple, but I bet it made a big difference.
Oh, definitely. It gave people a voice, right? They could write down concerns, see that they were being addressed.
Right.
It built trust and showed that their input mattered.
Yeah, it makes sense. So we've talked about defining safety culture, the impact of leaders,
yeah,
and getting employees involved. But I feel like there's this other piece to it, the whole psychology of risk.
Oh, absolutely. That's where it gets really interesting.
Like how our own experiences can make us see risk differently.
Right. One of the sources talked about someone who kept sticking their hand into a running machine.
Oh, no.
Because they hadn't been hurt yet. They thought it was fine. It shows how dangerous things can become normal if you haven't seen the bad stuff happen.
It's that it won't happen to me thing.
Exactly. So we need to move beyond just relying on our own experiences. We need objective ways to assess risk.
Well, how do we do that?
Well, some sources suggested tools like a risk guidance card to help people think through the potential consequences, you know, even if they haven't personally experienced them.
So, like, what would that look like? A risk guidance card.
Imagine a card with some questions on it, right?
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
How likely is it to go wrong? It gets you thinking more objectively.
So it forces you to think beyond just your gut feeling.
Right. It's about being proactive, not just reacting to problems.
That's so important. It's easy to get complacent, especially if you haven't had any accidents.
Right. But these sources remind us that safety is ongoing. It's not a one-time thing.
It's like you got to constantly be aware and adapt as needed.
Absolutely. It's not about being perfect. It's about constantly getting better.
Yeah.
And speaking of getting better,
yeah,
that reminds me of one of the key things these sources talk about, the activity-based safety system, or ABSS.
Okay, so what is ABSS? How does that fit into all of this?
Well, one of the core principles is constant communication.
Okay.
Think like daily pre-shift meetings, mm-hmm. short and sweet, everyone involved.
Right.
Keep safety top of mind.
Yeah, I can see how that would be helpful. Just a quick check-in at the start of each day.
Exactly. And then you've got, you know, weekly safety meetings to review what happened,
correct.
Talk about any trends, and plan for the week ahead.
So it's about being proactive,
yeah.
Not just waiting for something to go wrong.
Exactly. Identify those hazards before they become incidents.
Yeah, makes sense. And they also mentioned one-on-one discussions, right?
Yeah, super important. Those are crucial for building trust, understanding the challenges people are facing, and making sure everyone feels heard.
I bet those conversations are really valuable, getting that individual feedback and addressing those specific concerns.
Exactly. It creates a culture where people feel comfortable speaking up.
Yeah. So we've covered a lot. Leadership, employees, risk perception. It seems clear that building a strong safety culture takes work.
It does. It's not just about checking boxes. It's a mindset.
And what's interesting to me is I can see how these ideas apply to so much more than just workplaces.
Oh, totally.
Our homes, communities, even online.
Yeah, anywhere where people interact, really.
Okay, well, we've definitely covered a lot of ground in this first segment, but there's still so much more to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
When we come back, I want to dive into another tool that was mentioned, Job Hazard Analysis, or JHA.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It sounds like a really interesting way to break down tasks and find potential hazards.
It is. Can't wait to get into it. So Job Hazard Analysis, JHA.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of technical, but it's actually really practical.
Okay. I got to admit, when I first saw Job Hazard Analysis, I pictured like someone with a clipboard in a lab coat.
Oh, yeah.
Measuring every possible risk.
It's not quite that intense. It's really about taking a step back and looking at what we do,
okay,
breaking it down and asking what could go wrong here.
So it's kind of like a safety checklist for each job.
Yeah, exactly. And the point isn't just to spot the hazards,
right,
but to figure out how to, you know, control them, eliminate them. It's about preventing accidents before they happen.
One of the sources had this great example about hand injuries. They actually watched how people were using their hands to find the root causes of those injuries.
Oh, wow.
It led to things like using different knives for different tasks.
What a smart.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the simplest things can make a big difference.
That's a perfect example of how JHA can lead to real changes.
Yeah.
It's about understanding how people work, how they use their tools, their environment, and finding those little things that can have a big impact on safety.
It reminds me of, like, learning to chop veggies in cooking school. They're really specific about how you hold the knife.
Yeah.
To prevent cuts.
Exactly. And it's not just physical stuff. JHA can also be used for, you know, mental tasks, procedures.
Okay.
Even interactions between people.
So like dealing with a difficult customer.
Yeah.
Or handling a sensitive situation.
Exactly. You can analyze those interactions, find those potential hazards like miscommunication or things escalating.
Right.
And figure out how to manage those risks. It's about thinking broader than just physical injuries.
This is really making me rethink how I see safety. It's not just about, you know, the obvious stuff, the equipment or the rules.
No.
It's about understanding the potential risks in anything we do.
100%. And that's where training comes in. Once you know the hazards, you got to give people the skills to deal with them safely.
So it's not just telling people what to do, it's giving them the power to make safe choices themselves.
Exactly. And one thing that stood out in these sources is that good training has to work for different kinds of learners. You can't just lecture everyone and expect them to get it.
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely a hands-on learner. Give me something to actually do.
Yeah. And some people need that, right? Some people need visuals. Some need more discussion and interaction.
Right, right.
The key is to make the information engaging, make it work for everyone.
They also talked about how using pictures with text can really help people remember information.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's true what they say. A picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
It makes things stick in your mind, easier to understand.
Right.
And it can help, if there are language barriers, make sure everyone's on the same page.
That's a good point. I was also thinking, like, telling stories could be really powerful for safety training. You know, real life examples of what happened, how it could have been prevented.
Oh, yeah.
That probably hits harder than just listing rules.
Absolutely. Stories connect with us on an emotional level, right? If you hear about someone getting hurt because they didn't follow a procedure, it makes it real. You don't want to see that happen to yourself or anyone else.
Yeah, it's not just an abstract idea anymore. It becomes personal.
Exactly. And that can really change how people behave. It's not just following the rules, it's believing in them.
So we've talked about job hazard analysis for identifying risks and then training to address them.
Mm-hmm.
What else did these sources highlight about building a strong safety culture?
One thing that came up a lot was safety is a process, not just a program.
Okay.
It's not a one and done thing.
Right.
It's about constantly checking, adapting, getting better.
It's like working out. You can't just go to the gym once and expect to be fit forever.
Exactly. Gotta keep at it. And just like any muscle, our safety habits get stronger with practice.
And I guess the hazards can change too, right?
No, definitely.
Technology, people's behavior, it all evolves.
Right. So a good safety culture has to be flexible, able to adapt to those changes.
It's about staying ahead of the curve, not just reacting to what's already happened.
Exactly. It's about learning, improving, and everyone feeling like they can contribute.
You know, it's funny. These sources were mostly about workplace safety.
Uh-huh.
But I keep thinking about how these ideas apply to so many other parts of life.
Oh, yeah.
Our homes, our communities, even online.
It's about creating a safe and healthy environment wherever we are.
It's about taking responsibility, mm-hmm. not assuming someone else will take care of it.
Exactly. Being proactive, identifying those risks.
Yeah. Well, we've covered a ton today. I feel like I'm seeing safety in a whole new light.
Me too.
But before we wrap up, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on from these sources. So one thing that really stuck with me was this idea of a culture of caring.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It seemed to be a big theme in a lot of these sources. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it really gets to the heart of what it means to be safe. It's not just about, you know, following the rules or avoiding accidents.
What?
It's about genuinely caring for yourself and everyone around you.
So it's about creating that environment where everyone feels like valued, respected, mm-hmm. supported.
Exactly. It's about building a community where people look out for each other, feel safe to speak up, and know that their contributions matter.
It sounds like trust is a big part of that.
Oh, huge.
And feeling like everyone's responsible for safety, not just a few people.
Absolutely. And that kind of culture, it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time, takes effort.
Right.
It starts with the leaders showing that they genuinely care about people
and
giving everyone the power to be involved in safety.
I like that idea that the leaders set the example and it kind of ripples out from there.
It's like a snowball effect, right?
Yeah.
The more people get on board, the stronger it becomes.
It's pretty cool to think about how these small actions can build up to something so much bigger.
Yeah.
It's not about like some grand gesture.
No.
It's about the everyday choices we make to put safety first for ourselves and everyone around us.
You got it. It's those little things that add up, those moments where we choose to be careful to help out.
Right.
To speak up when something's not right.
It's about making safety a part of who we are, not just something we do.
Exactly. And I think that's a really powerful message. Safety isn't just about, you know, avoiding the bad stuff.
No.
It's about creating the conditions for people to really thrive.
I love that. We've covered so much today. It's amazing.
It's been great.
I hope our listeners are walking away with some new ideas and feeling like they can make a difference.
Me too. Remember, this culture of caring, it's not a finish line. It's a journey.
Yeah.
It's about those little moments, those chances to make things better and working together to create a safer, more positive world for everyone.
That's a perfect way to wrap things up. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into safety culture.
My pleasure.
And all our listeners out there, keep exploring these ideas. Think about the groups you're in, the places you spend time, and how you can help build that culture of caring. Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.